word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. He has given to us another opportunity to serve Him and to learn of His love for us. One of the things the Christian will have to come to grips with is that as we go through this life, we are going to fail. Now, we find no comfort in this, that we are going to fail, other than in the sense that we acknowledge the fact that we are frail creatures of dust. When we do fail, it grieves the heart of God and it grieves the Christian. We do not say, oh, well, just another chance to fail. No, we don't have that attitude. When you see the unsaved person looks for sin, when he finds it, he's happy and he goes on his way and says, when can I do this again? The saved person stumbles into sin and says, oh, that I might be delivered. I want to be free from this. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. And he goes on his way, many times saying, how could I have done such a thing? Lord, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And the Christian hates the sin, wants to live to please the Lord, because the indwelling Holy Spirit is in every Christian, in every saint, and every Christian is a saint. And we are born again, and we begin a walk with the Lord, and we begin to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. This is a command. The Lord does not make a suggestion that you follow, but He says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is indeed what He would have us to do, to grow. And when we are not growing, guess what's happening? We are standing still. And what else is going to happen when we stand still? We'll be sliding backwards. The other way to say that word, we will be backsliding. If you're not closer to the Lord today than you were yesterday or a week ago or a month or a year or however long ago it was that you were saved, then you're sliding backwards. There are many who have stunted growth. They won't grow anymore because they won't let certain things go. They've made it up in their mind that they are a certain way, and they will hide behind their certain sin. And I'm reminded of trees that are diseased with the parasite mistletoe. After a while, the tree can become so laden with mistletoe until the tree dies. There are vines that will choke another tree or branch, a tree, so much so until the tree dies. There are people, Christians, they are Christians, and they will not let a certain thing in their life go, and so they remain stunted. They do not grow. They still respond to the situations that they the same way they did when they were first saved. They refuse to let the Lord move them on to higher ground. You ever heard the saying about growing pains? Well, the pain, growth for the Christian comes through pain. There is growth, a self-denial, denying oneself. You can't cater to the flesh, and you can't just be very sweet and meek and mild to the flesh and expect to grow spiritually, because the book of Galatians tells us that these two are contrary the one to the other. You can't please the spirit and the flesh at the same time. No man can serve two masters at the same time. And if you think that you can serve the Lord today and then please the flesh tomorrow and still be a good, victorious Christian, you're deceived. Now, when you do fall into sin, confess it, forsake it, with the intentions of never going back to that sin again. That's what forsaking sin is. And the Christian will have those problems, but the Lord will help. Father, bless, I pray, this message and this preacher today for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the Gospel according to John, now chapter 16 again, the Lord says, now in his word, this is the record God has preserved for us, now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. So these saw something that the Lord did, and they became certain in their hearts and minds that the Lord Jesus was he who had come from God. John the Baptist in chapter 1 said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Nicodemus said, we know that no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And many other things that showed that people were putting their trust in the Lord. One possessed of devils, his child was a man that was possessed of many demons, was delivered. A man who brought his child to the Lord because the disciples could not cast out the devils. Or there is the one who came to the Lord in John chapter 4 and asked the Lord to heal his child. And the Lord healed the child, and the man and the Lord never went to the man's house. This man knew indeed that this was the Christ. He knew that this was God. The centurion had a servant, and he wanted the Lord to heal his servant in Matthew chapter 8. Asked the Lord for that. And the Lord was saying he will come and heal him. And the centurion said, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. I'm a man who has authority over men. I say to this one, come, and he cometh. I say to this one, go, and he goeth. And he knew that the Lord Jesus had the same kind of power. He had heard of the things that the Lord had done, and he was convinced in his mind that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he's different from anyone else, any other who has come. About every 100 years or so, it's been said that men come on the scene declaring that they are the Christ. Well, they come on saying that they are a Christ. The Lord Jesus came demonstrating, and he declared that he was, and that he was coming back. And he is coming back, because all that he prophesied came to pass. Everything he ever told people that was going to happen, he would say, go and you'll find this. He would say, I saw you. He heard what was going on in their hearts. He commanded the waves and the sea, and these things obeyed him. He showed that he alone is God in flesh. And the disciples knew that he was indeed the one who had come from God. And the Lord Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? And he says, now this is something else I want you to consider. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Now those words sounded like strange words, that the Lord would come and say this to his apostles, that they were going to be scattered. Now, what did this mean? Because you knew earlier in Matthew 20, there were those who were asking, now, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, would you let one of us sit on your right hand? See, these sons of thunder asked the question. They wanted to know if the Lord would let one of them sit on the right hand and another on the left. And another said, Lord, make my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And they were asking the Lord because they knew that he had power. Now, he is showing to them that something is going to happen that is quite different, that there is going to be the scattering of these apostles, and they will leave him alone. And then he lets them know, no, I'm not alone, though you're gone, because the Father is with me. Now, I speak these words to some who may be confined to a bed or a wheelchair or a home, an institution somewhere, and sometimes you may be made to feel that you're alone, and yet you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've put your trust in Him. You're looking unto Him as the Savior of your soul. There is none other to whom you dare look. You know that He alone is the Lord God, and you're trusting in Him, and you feel you're alone. What do you do in times like that? When you just don't sense the nearness of the Lord, what do you live by? How do you keep going? What did the Lord say? Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, one of two things you can conclude. Either the end of the world has come, or the Lord is with you. Now, He promised, Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And things aren't anymore. See, the pain would be gone if the Lord Jesus doesn't exist anymore. If God Himself were no longer, then you wouldn't exist. I wouldn't exist. Nothing would exist. He's the one who holds everything together. So He is with you. Now, what are you to do with that knowledge? Armed with that knowledge that He is with you. Be comforted. Be encouraged. Yes, the Lord promised that He would never leave me, so He is here. Whether I sense His presence and His nearness or not. Now, we have the Word on which we stand. Go to the Bible. Judge and gauge everything by the Word. Don't say, well, I know He's with me because I feel so good. No, there are times when you feel very discouraged. You don't feel like talking to anyone. And don't be deceived into thinking, well, now that I'm a Christian, I should be happy, happy, happy all the time. That's not true. That is not true. And don't let anybody tell you that. Anybody who ever tells you that when you become a Christian, all of your problems will go away, that person hasn't understood or doesn't know what he's talking about. That when you become a Christian, the Lord says that you will suffer persecution. And there are times in that persecution when you will weep and shed tears. Now, I don't know anybody that I'm talking to today that is so holy that the Lord has used you to write words, holy words, that men today will call the inspired Word of God. I don't know of anybody like that. Yet there are some who will boast that their words of their song are on the same level as Scripture. And again, they're deceived and they're deceiving people. But the Scriptures, the Word of God, He tells us that we're to look to His Word. And David was a man after God's own heart. And there were times in his writing of the Psalms when he talked about his tears that needed to be put in a bottle. Yes, the Christian suffers. The Christian has grief. And even as the Apostle Paul penned the words in 1 Thessalonians 4, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. He didn't say we don't sorrow at all. He says when we do sorrow, we don't have a hopeless sorrow. We do sorrow, and it's no strange thing for the Christian to cry. Now, some who are afraid to shed tears. What does John 11:35 say? Jesus wept. Is it a sign of weakness for a man to cry? Well, then you'll call our Savior weak, because He certainly shed tears. The Lord is with you. We have the Word. He will never go back on His Word. Trust Him today. Father, we ask for Thy blessings again and Thy comfort upon Thy people. Hear from heaven and help us, we ask, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.